Blog Talk Radio.
This is the first time in our history that this ceremony has been held, as you've been told, on this west front of the Capitol. Standing here, one faces a magnificent vista opening up on this city's special beauty and history. At the end of this open mall are those shrines to the giants on whose shoulders we stand. Directly in front of me, a monument to a monumental man, George Washington, father of our country. A man of humility who came to greatness reluctantly. He led America out of revolutionary victory into infant nationhood. Off to one side, the stately memorial to Thomas Jefferson, a Declaration of Independence flames with his eloquence. And then beyond the reflecting pool, the dignified columns of the Lincoln Memorial. Whoever would understand in his heart the meaning of America will find it in the life of Abraham Lincoln. Beyond those moments, those monuments to heroism, is the Potomac River, and on the far shore, the sloping hills of Arlington National Cemetery, with its row upon row of simple white markers bearing crosses or stars of David. They add up to only a tiny fraction of the price that has been paid for our freedom. Each one of those markers is a monument to the kind of hero I spoke of earlier. Their lives ended in places called Belleau Wood, the Argonne, Omaha Beach, Salerno, and halfway around the world on Guadalcanal, Tarawa, Porkchop Hill, the Chosin Reservoir, and in 100 rice paddies and jungles of a place called Vietnam. Under one such marker lies a young man, Martin Treptow, who left his job in a small-town barber shop in 1917 to go to France with the famed Rainbow Division. There on the Western Front, he was killed trying to carry a message between battalions under heavy artillery fire. We're told that on his body was found a diary. On the flyleaf, under the heading My Pledge, he had written these words: America must win this war. Therefore, I will work, I will save, I will sacrifice, I will endure. I will fight cheerfully and do my utmost as if the issue of the whole struggle depended on me alone. The crisis we're facing today does not require of us the kind of sacrifice that Martin Treptow and so many thousands of others were called upon to make. It does require, however, our best effort and our willingness to believe in ourselves and to believe in our capacity to perform great deeds, to believe that together, with God's help, we can and will resolve the problems which now confront us. And after all, why shouldn't we believe that? We are Americans. God bless you and thank you. Thank you very much.
Welcome, listeners, to the City on a Hill radio show. Thank you for tuning in. We're having a little bit of technical difficulty, so I hope you can bear with us, but we are so grateful that you've joined us so that you can learn with us. And today, as always, we are just so grateful to Don Wildman to be on with us, and also we're going to give you an update on the tornadoes that hit North Alabama. We have got Pastor Mary with us. Pastor Mary, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Diana.
Well,
can you hear me okay?
Off, Pastor Mary, I can hear you really good. And Don, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, thanks, Don. God bless you. Mr. Wayne will be joining us today, but I'm going to stay on for a little while, and he's going to take over the show, Don. But I'm going to start off, and if you don't mind, Pastor Mary, would you start us off in prayer?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
If you don't mind.
Okay, all right, yes, sure. Father, we just thank you now, and we just praise you, oh Lord God. Father, we come before you for This is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, Father. And we just thank you, Lord God, for what you are doing in the midst of us, Lord. We just lift up your name today, Father, for there is no other name greater than your name. There is no other name whereby men shall be saved but through Jesus Christ. And, Father, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you for your peace in the midst of a turmoil world, that is in uproar right now with the wars and with the floods and the fires and the tornadoes and the tsunamis, Father God. But we just know, God, that your peace passes all understanding. Father, we just thank you for your peace. We thank you for your joy. We thank you for your love dying on the cross, Lord, that we might have the right to the tree of life. And, Father, now we pray for all those who are listening, Lord God, that you would just give them a special blessing today. Empower them with knowledge. Empower them with your word, Lord, that we may go forth out into the world and proclaim your word into a nation, into a world, Father, who is without your word. And we just ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And, you know, I had to really get Pastor Mary to agree to come on today because she is just so swamped where she's at, Dawn. She's in Phil Campbell, Alabama. And it's really heart-wrenching, the stories. I know I spoke to my sister, who's from the Auburn area, and, you know, the stories that we are hearing are just really awful. I mean, I hate to even say it, but, you know, there's so many people that are missing. And from what I heard, you know, from really all that pressure, I think there's a few people that were double counted because, unfortunately, you know, limbs. I mean, people were torn, in, you know, from limb to limb in some of those tornadoes, and they're finding, you know, parts, their parts just here and there. And one story that someone shared me was of two students. You know, one student, they were supposed to meet together, or one student got to the college and got there safely, found safety and did not get hurt. But the other student, she did not make it there. Her body was found like about 30 to 50 miles away. Well, from Tuscaloosa is where she was headed, but her body was found all the way in Birmingham. So, you know, I'm sure that the parents of these students are just so devastated. And, you know, I can't even imagine how they would feel after hearing those kind of tragic news that their daughter that was here yesterday, you know, is gone, never to be seen again. But we're hoping that they knew about the Lord Jesus Christ because they will see them again. We know that the Bible tells us that. So we're grateful for the comfort that can be had out of the scriptures. But in the meantime, we have lives that need to be repaired emotionally, and the repair will be taking a long time for that because, you know, that's one of the things you hear, you know, when you lose your child, that's just something that you really can never recover from. You can just live and survive, but it's very, very tragic. But I had Pastor Mary to come on because she is in the Russellville area, which is really one of the poorest places that was hit. And I'm just so thankful that Pastor Mary, that, you know, God had already allowed you to have a ministry there. But
Diana.
In conversation with you that I did not realize it is that, you know, it doesn't take much really to run your ministry, which is really going to be there for the long run. Let's face it, Red Cross and the others, you know, they're going to be gone. I know that you said that you've already seen signs for one agency that's fixing to be gone. So, you know, Red Cross and all that, with all the money people's giving them, I just wish that they'd think about giving to other ministries such as the one as yours, because it doesn't really, you know, take a lot to run it. But the wonderful thing is you have a building.
You're right. It doesn't take a whole lot. And, you know, the most amazing thing is that the Lord sent us into this area back in November, and we took a step of faith and just came into this area because it was one of the poorest areas where people needed prayer and they needed food and they need, you know, there's the jobs, or just there's no jobs. And, you know, having this shelter here is such a vital, vital importance thing right now, is to have it here, and it takes very little. I was just, we were just talking about it earlier this morning. It takes only $2,500 a month just to keep the shelter going. And that is just a small amount. That is a small amount. And we're the only shelter here in Field Campbell. We're the only one here. And so it's just important that the people out there will have a heart to say, you know, we're going to help that the people in that area, that, especially now with the tornado, because, I mean, there is, the lives have just been devastated. And this shelter is serving as a life source for the people here. And I appreciate you allowing us to come on, Diane, and talk about it and share it, you know, because it's only, you know, $2,500 a month is really not a lot. I mean, we live in, you know, some of us live in our homes and in our own private homes and pay more than that to keep it running. And so we cut costs everywhere. We don't run a lot of air conditioners. We do everything we can to keep the costs low because the people here in this area don't have money. They don't have money to give. So, but to have these doors open means so much.
And that is one of the things that I know is true. You know, it's a very poor area of Alabama. And I know a lot of the different towns surrounding you are probably going to get a lot more assistance. They're more in the news than you are, Phil Campbell. But I think in that town alone, I know 40 people, you know, was killed. And I know the count for Alabama is 289 and 90-something still missing. The figure may be off by a little bit, but that's a lot of devastation. That's a lot of lives. But also,
yes,
you already have a building, and as a matter of fact, when we were talking, you know, for people that are looking for a place to stay and come down and help, that they really need to talk to you if they're, you know, if they have the money to come down, that have the ability, the tools, because you can house them.
They can come right here and stay.
Place.
Yeah. Yes, we have rooms. They can come here and stay and come in the area and help and just to be able to go out. And so we have people right now in tents that are living in tents, and, you know, to be able to go out and just minister to these people and to help meet their needs and take out food and take water out, because we are having a lot of the agencies that are leaving. Some of them are, the last day will be here, Sunday is their last day. And our mission is here for the long haul, so we'll be going out into these areas, actually setting up little sites where we're going to be cooking right out there where they are, cooking and feeding and making sure that they have hot meals every day. And so this shelter is very vital right now. I mean, it's you know, I told my husband, I said, little did we know that God knew what was coming ahead of us, and he sent us in here to have something already established so that people can be accommodated. You know, they don't have to just be out there and live in a tent and not get a hot shower, but they can come here and get showers. They can, you know, if they want to go back and work on their properties or whatever, they can come here and get hot meals and then go out and work all day to you know, work on their properties. And so we're just so blessed to be able to be here, to be able to help them, to pray with them, and to, you know, make things easier for them. And so, if anybody's out there listening and just want to write one check for the month, would be awesome. It would take a big load off ground zero to know that the bill's going to be paid.
I have
Pastor
a question
Mary.
For you, Pastor. I have a question for you, Pastor Mary. This is Dawn in California, and beyond the fact that we're all praying for folks all over the country, but especially Alabama, Mississippi, and I think it's brilliant that you've come on, because it is an aspect that we all forget. It kind of loses its traction on the news about what happens after the aftermath of something as huge as this natural disaster. And we forget that those that were vulnerable to begin with are put in even a more dire straits. And so for you to have your ministry be the one sort of sanctuary for people, and even for a lot of folks now that have lost everything they have, it's an incredible gift that God brought you to that area. And my niece, who does youth ministry through her church, Foothills Church, out here in California, last night she said to me, you know, I just feel called to do something for the folks in Alabama. And I said, okay, well, what do you mean? And she says, I feel like I need to put together boxes of stuff and just get something moving to help those people in Alabama. And I said, well, I've got a list. let's get to the church this weekend and get everybody to come in, and we'll fill up those boxes and we'll send them on their way. To have a 22-year-old say that to you, that I feel called to help the folks.
Wow.
I mean, you know, I'm sure she's not the only one, too. So hopefully we have help on the way.
Oh, praise God. We appreciate it. We thank you. We feel the love and we feel the prayers. I mean, I just wake up and just thinking about it, you give me chills to just feel the love of those that, you know, people in other states who saying we're praying for you and we're sending you a package. We want to help. It really helped us get through the day. It really does. And so, you know, I appreciate you, Donna. And you tell your niece that we thank her for her heart. You know, I remember when I was 22 years old, man, I was on fire for God. You know, I mean, I always had a heart to reach out to others and say, you know what, I don't have a whole lot of money, but this is what I can do. And that's what's important is that some people may not have a whole lot of money, but right now they don't realize $10 is a lot right now. $20 is a lot. Anything, because when you get a lot of people giving a little, the Bible said a little become much when we place it in the master's hands. And so,
absolutely. I wanted to know what was the best way we could help you. I know you guys have a website and you have a donation button. Is that the best way we can help you, is to get that out to everybody, ask them to donate so we can keep those ministries and those shelters open on top of some boxes and stuff?
That would be a huge help.
That's my mission for the next few days. I'm going to make sure your website with your donate button gets out. Everybody knows we need to keep those shelters open. We need to keep, you know, especially our most vulnerable citizens, and now all those people in need, we need to be there. God is always there, but we need to be there as his helpers. When the Red Cross and everybody else leaves, the only people left are going to be us and God, and we have to be there for those folks.
Oftentimes we're God's hands.
Oh, yes. Hi, Pastor Wayne.
Absolutely.
Hey, how you doing?
Let me ask Pastor Mary to say that website again, Pastor Mary, and I know that you have a PayPal account for people so they know it's safe, but
yes.
How do they do that in the website name?
Okay, yes, it's groundzerorescue.org, and you just go on there and you'll see the donate button, and you click on that and just make a donation. And no donation is too small. No donation is too big. Right now, you know, the monetary donation is a huge help because it helps us to pay the bills and be able to keep the doors open here so that these people, we're going to be here for the long haul, and they can come in and get hot meals, hot showers. I had Red Cross call yesterday, you know, saying that they had some people that needed help. So we're in place to be able to help the people. And you guys, you know, you guys are going to help us to do that. You know, you may can't be here physically, but you can financially help. It will be a great help. Just go right on there. Go groundzerorescue.org.
Well, and I think it's really important that
one of the problems,
go ahead, Don.
Many people.
I was just
going
to say, I think it's really important for us all to remind folks, too, that after a natural disaster like this, after it falls off of the news, where it's no longer the biggest hit on the news, after all those things have gone away, people are still struggling. And
right
now we have a lot more people who, you know, a few weeks ago had something, now have nothing. And thank
That's
God
right.
for your shelter and your ministry already being there. But we have to be there to help those folks when everybody else has sort of forgotten that it happened.
Yeah.
You know,
Mr. Wayne, I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and say a few things, and then I'm going to get off and let Pastor Mary get off too, and you and Don can have continue the conversation. But I want to say that, Don, if you want to email her, there's an email for Mary Shelnut at the website so that you can, you know, contact her about information. If they want to send something physically also, just let her know, and that way she can give you the phone number and what other information she needs, or if she needs to call you, that would be a good way. And I think that's on one of the pages. I don't know that it's on the very front page, but I know I've seen that information for her email.
Yes. It's Mary at Ground Zero Rescue. Yeah, you can email me there. And we also have a.
I was just getting the name right. Because a lot of people, you know, they want to give. They don't know who to give to or where to give to. And it's very important. GroundZeroRescue.org is a good place to start, I would say.
Fine. And let me go ahead and say this, too, since, you know, saying I was not going to be on today. And, of course, I always love to be on with you, Dawn, but I just got back from Texas, so they were going to let me have the day off. But anyway.
Well, the Lord called you back, Diana.
He did, and I'm going to go visit up there in Phil Campbell. When she goes back up, I'm wanting to go up there, and we'll put videos and everything. Because, and I think since Dawn is here, Dawn, you know, we've always talked about barn building, and I know Ground Zero is one of those that is not a government run ministry. They don't get, you know, that money monthly from the government in order to continue. They do it in faith, and it's because they love people. They believe, you know, they have faith that God will provide. So we want to join them. But at the same time, I think this would be an awesome pilot, you know, for all the nation and the world to see this is what God can do. This is what people can do together when things are done right without the government. So I believe Phil Campbell is a small enough community. Russellville, well, I shouldn't say small enough community. I mean, they're so rural, they're really large, and so is Russellville. But I think this would be a great pilot to show the nation that, you know, it can be done with people helping one another, standing in that gap, and doing that barn building. So this will be so great. And, Dawn, I'm thanking you because I'm so glad God had allowed you to be on today. So she could come on and you could hear what she's got in her heart. But anyway, I'm going to let y'all go. I'm going to get off and I'm going to. Pastor Mary, is there something else that you'd like to say before we let you go?
I would just like to thank Dawn and all those that are listening. You know, thank you for remembering the people here in this county. It's Franklin County, and it's a little town called Phil Campbell. And we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your monetary donation, the food, everything that you guys send, we appreciate it so much. And what's amazing about this little town, there's a lot of people who love God here, who you know, that they need somebody to pour back into them because they are praying, they are in their word. And we set up a little mission right downtown Phil Campbell. They would stop by that mission and they would say, when are y'all going to have church? When are you going to have church? You know, and so, you know, these are people who are, don't have a whole lot. There's not any jobs here, but these are people who are hungry for God, and we want to pour into these people. And thank you guys for helping us do that.
Well, Pastor, I definitely intend to bring your ministry before my church Sunday. Usually looking for people we can help in missions, and I'm sure my people are interested in doing something to help the folks up in northern Alabama. So I'm going to bring this up, and we're going to see what we can do. And if your address is on your website, we hope to be sending you at least a one-time check.
Thank you. It is there. The address is there, and we appreciate that. And we're going to be doing some update on our website as well. We're going to try to put some pictures and stuff so they can go right on that website and see the actual, you know, the town, you know. And so, again, I appreciate the prayers, and I appreciate you guys so much.
Pastor Mary, you have water.
Everything you're doing, Pastor Mary.
Oh, God bless you. Thank you.
Do you have washer and dryers for people that may want to change clothes? I know that, you know, a lot of the homes are gone, and they're, like you said,
camping around there. It's funny that you mentioned the washer, but we have a washer here that, and it's almost about on its last leg. But we do have a washer and a dryer here, so, you know, if somebody want to donate a washer, that would be awesome, because this, the one we have is, When it spins, it knocks, you know, it makes a real loud noise. But
it means a lot to people to have clean clothes, to smell better after they, you know, have had a rough day working out there on their property. So that will be a big help, too. So Yeah, so there's a lot that your ministry can do, because like you said, you're going to be there and you've got room for people to stay and help out. So, you know, there's no hotels, I think, from what I was gathering. There's really nothing for people to go there and stay if they wanted to come out there and help.
That's right. If they want to come and stay and bring a youth group or a team of people, we have room where they can come out and stay and, you know, where we can go in and just be able to pour back into the community. And that just gives me life to be able to do that. You know, my husband, he's sitting here going, let me say something. But, you know, we appreciate everything we do. We appreciate, you know, you guys just being there. And this is strengthening us today to come on. And I thank you, Diana, for talking me into it, because we've been working so hard. I was so tired.
God,
I'm too tired.
God is so good. Well, I'm going to go. And I'm going to let Dawn say one more thing. I know she probably won't say one more thing, but I'm going to go ahead and get off the phone, and I love you, and I'll talk to you later. And thank you, Dawn.
Thanks, Diana. It's funny. Diana talks about, I always have this analogy about barn building. I've always looked at the tea parties as old-fashioned barn building, that we are building community that we've lost in the nation. And this is one of those moments when you really get to see that happen in real life. This isn't, you know, Alabama's not screaming at FEMA to come give me free stuff, you know, in Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know, we're hearing from our folks in Mississippi with the flooding in Indiana. And, you know, everybody's turning not just to God but to each other. And that's what makes it incredible. I think most of us agree, we don't believe in coincidence. Everything happens because of his plan. And his plan was to make sure, Pastor Mary, no matter how tired you were today, that you got on so you could update me so I could prod more people into helping out in Alabama, and that's what it's all about.
Amen. Thank you so much.
I'm going to get in touch with Pastor Mary, so that I can hook up my churches out here with you so that we can find out how to get things to you as quickly as possible. And I'm going to make sure everybody, you know, knows where to donate and how to donate, and we get out there and really put the power of God to work.
Let me tell you, if you need to email me, it's Mary Shelnut@groundzeroandrescue, and just email me and I can get you any kind of information you need.
Thanks, Pastor Mary.
All right. Thank you, guys, and God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor Mary. We'll be getting
Bye-bye.
In touch, too.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right.
Well, I guess it's just you and me, Mr. Wayne. I hope you're okay.
Well, praise the Lord. Well, I was supposed to host it today, but my internet went down about 30, 45 minutes before we were supposed to go on, and I've been trying to get it back up and ended up knocking out my home telephone line. So
better late than never, right?
Yeah, well, we're here. And I was in the Philippines when this hit, and I didn't know if my house and hometown had been hit or not, because the news was so sketchy. And I finally got online with the Dothan Eagle and found out that we were sending, that our communities were sending emergency vehicles up to the area, so I guess we were safe. And then I came home and found the full extent of the damage, and it's just a situation of wanting to help and not knowing where to help. You know, where do you start? And you talk about barn building, and I've always said that the welfare state is the unpaid bill of the church. If the church was doing what it was supposed to be doing, we wouldn't need a welfare state. And, I guess it's been about 15, 16 years ago when then-Governor George W. Bush of Texas introduced his faith-based initiatives.
Absolutely.
And several of the leading churches in Texas protested, "It's the government's job. You're not going to foist welfare on us." And I literally got sick to my stomach, because that was what the church is supposed to be about. You know, Jesus said, "You've done this unto the least of these, you've done it unto me." And it's the major reason we get a tax break and we're tax exempt, is because we're supposed to do charity work. and help the government in that situation. I mean, we don't get a tax exempt status so we can build water slides and satellite dishes outside our sanctuary. We get a tax exempt status because we're supposed to help the poor, the widows, and the orphans. And
I have a little post-it on my desk that I look at every day. And somebody had sent me this quote, and it was, preach at all times and only when necessary use words. And that affects me profoundly every day because I think we all forget that it's about your action. It's not about you saying what a great Christian you are or how much you love God or Jesus Christ. What it's about is your action. And if you take no action and you know there's a need, well, that's sin, honey. So,
well, yeah. The Lord called us to be witnesses, not necessarily to witness, to be witnesses. And there's a difference. And this is a chance for us to be witnesses. And this is a chance, you know, for us to go into the highways and the hedges. And like I said, we can't all be there on the front line like Pastor Mary is, but we can support her. And sometimes,
well, you know what's really interesting? I love these moments in time, not, you know, obviously mm-hmm. because of the natural disasters or
right.
people being us, but these are one of those moments in time when everything, I think, becomes very crisp and clear to you.
Right.
Every person stops and says, thank God that wasn't me. Every person acknowledges this in some fashion. And I also think it enables us to see the good and the bad in people. Monday nights, I am so blessed to be able to talk to state coordinators all over the country. So, you know, from one end of this nation to another, I've got state coordinators on the call, and we're trying to think of ways to help each other and to help our movement. And so we were asking for updates previously from our state coordinators, obviously in Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, what's happening. And they got back to us, and they were giving us, you know, an idea of what was going on. And even those that didn't lose stuff, the fact that they saw their neighbors, you know,
right.
it's one of those moments that you never think you'll be part of, and it really humbles you. So we were all talking, and somebody says, well, you know, Alabama gave us a list of things that they needed, and our folks in Alabama are up near Huntsville, so,
uh-huh.
you know, they're pretty to that epicenter, and they'd given us a list of things that they had needed, and they said, well, can we get this out to all our folks in different states? And I said, well, it's up to each state coordinator. And, you
mm-hmm.
know, God at Work Again says, you know, I hear New York says yes, Maine says yes, Virginia says yes. So we go across the country. And so I just send a little email because we also do a leadership call Monday evenings with all of our organizers across the nation. And I send a little email and say, you know, this is what we're trying to do. And Jenny Beth Martin, who's in Georgia, actually in Polk County, you know, says, well, let's talk about this tonight on the Monday night call and let folks know what we're trying to do here. And
mm-hmm.
so we did. I mean, I literally just had a two-minute kind of an update. This is where you'll find the information. We're all sending it out. Please help. And a lady sent me an email that said, I don't think this is the most appropriate forum for this, blah, 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 blah. And I said, I am so sorry you feel that way. I said, if you do not, this is the most important forum for taking care of our own, then maybe you don't understand what we're about. So
she's missing the whole point in my mind. And this, you know, like I said, I mean, because what the Tea Party's all about, and this is one of the reasons why I got in on the ground floor down here, was it's about telling the government to get out of our business. Well, if we're going to tell people not to go to government and become a slave to the government for every need and want and desire, then somebody's got to fill in the gap to say, well, we can take care of this ourselves. And I hope I'm making sense of what I'm trying to say. This is an opportunity
absolutely.
To show you don't need FEMA, which isn't efficient
right.
anyway. I mean,
right.
if again, if the church was doing what it was supposed to be doing, yeah, I'm a pro-lifer. I'm very involved in pro-life. I don't know how many times I've been almost arrested outside of abortion clinics trying to show, you know, persuade young women not to have abortions. But if I'm going to tell a young girl not to have an abortion, then somebody's got to be there to help her through this crisis and to help her with an alternative. It's not enough to say, don't get an abortion, now, kid, you're on your own with the kid. You've got to be there to help that young girl through a pregnancy and help with the baby. There's got to be, and I'm not, you know, it's not a deal of self-reliance necessarily. It's helping a person become self-reliant. And I hope I'm making sense of what I'm trying to say, you know.
Absolutely. I think really, truly, people with losing the understanding of what built the foundation of this country, our Constitution, Declaration of Independence, you know, the Revolutionary War, what we also tend to forget was the main thing that built this country was people helping people. There wasn't
exactly
a government to lean on when this country was founded. There wasn't a government to lean on to fight against, you know, people encroaching on your, you know, Tories or the British coming onto your land and trying to take it from you. It was each other helping each other. And if we cannot find the way to get back to that, and it's one of the hardest things, I think, as a Christian, is to realize how many churches really have lost their way and forgot why they were there, what their original mission was. You know, it becomes really sad, I think, to see them sort of shuddering in the wake of a government that's threatening them with, oh, we're going to take away your tax-exempt status or whatever. I just have never understood. And that's all changing. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, we still have those Christian folks out there, and by no means do I think I am in any way perfect. You know, daily during my walk with God, I ask, please, just give me the strength today to walk on the path that I'm supposed to be on. But I get a lot of emails, too, that people are very quick to criticize. You know, you can't serve two masters, blah, blah, blah. And I keep thinking, well, what is it that you're doing for the Lord today?
Amen.
What is it you're doing for your neighbor today?
Look, here's the deal. My first call is to Jesus Christ. And, yeah, I have two brothers who are ordained ministers, too, and we go back and forth. What is a Christian's role in government and in politics? And, of course, we've been fed this lie of separation of church and state to where even the church is starting to buy it. But there's never been – it's one of my professors when I was doing my graduate work in history and education said, the wall of separation between church and state in the United States has always been serpentine. That means there's been holes in it. You know, serpentine wall, a lot of people, for listeners who don't know what I'm talking about, a serpentine wall is a decorative wall that has holes in it so that vines can snake in and out of it and grow in and out of and go on both sides of the wall. And so there's always been this cooperation between the church and the state. They've worked together for the common good. And it was part of the vision of the founding fathers was that church would be a support to good citizenship. And the problem is we've got this idea that as Christians we're supposed to be separate from the government. Well, here's the problem. Jesus called us to be salt and the light of the world. And you don't hide your lamp, and you don't keep salt in a box. We live in a country where the people have a right to dictate and to have a say in the direction our country's to go in. And so, as Christians, our duty to be witnesses and to be light and to be salt, we have a duty to have a say in the direction our country's going. Because if Christians don't have a say in the direction our country's going, who's going to be calling the shots? And you know, you say you can't legislate morality. Well, every time we pass a law, we're legislating morality. When we send a person to prison for 10 years for armed robbery, we're saying thou shalt not steal. we sentence a person to life imprisonment or the death penalty for murder, we're saying thou shalt not commit murder. So who do you want legislating morality? Do you want somebody who believes in the Ten Commandments, who believes in doing unto others as you would have us, as you would have it done unto yourself? Or do you want somebody whose basic dictate is do what thou wilt, that's the whole of the law? So we have a duty as Christians to be involved. And it should inculcate everything we do and say. These politicians who get up here and say, well, I'm a Christian, but it doesn't interfere with my running of the business. I don't want anything to do with that person. That man's a hypocrite. You go to church 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours a week, and it doesn't affect your decisions in your daily business, then you're wasting your time. You know, I'd rather have an honest atheist who tell me I'm an atheist than somebody who says I'm a Christian, but it doesn't bother or doesn't affect my decisions. It's just, I just have no use for that. And so here we are at this foundation. What you talk, I like your barn building analogy. Folks, that's happens. If your neighbor needs a barn, everybody showed up in the morning. They brought dinner. They brought lunch. They built that barn. They sat down. They ate together. They fellowshiped together. Then they went home and went about their business. That's what made America great. And that's what you see in these efforts like Sister Mary up there in Russellville. And what you're trying to do, and it's what the Tea Party is supposed to be about. This idea, we don't need government to run our affairs. That's what we have each other for. And I'll
absolutely, amen. I, you know, it's really interesting what I had a couple of down days where I was just feeling the weight of, you know, the administration. All that we're trying to do kept feeling a little bit like, you know, pushing the rock uphill once again.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And
I get that. Go ahead. Sorry.
But, you know, it was really funny. What generally brings me back is talking to people, because everybody has a different story. Everybody has a reason. And because this movement continues to grow, you have a lot of people that are coming into it, you know, wide-eyed and very fresh, which is very nice, by the way, because for some of us that have been around for a while now, it feels
that
way.
Burned out.
You really need, yeah, you need to have that new perspective, I think. And I'm always completely amazed at how willing to give people are. I mean, your normal, average, everyday citizen, these are good people who just want to help. I think that we have gone so far off the track that we forgot to show people how to help each other. And with
right. All
the technology we have, it further puts a bridge between people, or builds this wall between people instead of a bridge for people. They're not socializing the same. Hell, we don't even see our children socializing anymore with each other between the texting and the computer. And all I keep thinking is, and you wonder why, you know, Joey is, you know, not functioning as a normal kid anymore. But I'm always amazed when I hear, especially about somebody else's struggles or what's going on, and I'm amazed at the fortitude that people have. So, you know, hearing somebody like Pastor Mary just has to go to the quick of you and say, you know, here's this woman who is just doing everything she can, her and her husband, to keep this thing alive. And, you know, that's not what we're doing. And yet we, you know, it's so little on my part, I think, to be able to pass on the word about this or ask people to help in comparison to the heavy lifting they do. But, you know, that's the thing that always makes me really proud to be involved with not just this movement, but my neighbors. Because, mm-hmm. once again, I feel like I have a sense of community like I did when I was a child.
Right. I mean, we are missing that. I know my wife and I have talked about how we don't get out and socialize anymore because you're so tired, you work, and you're so stressed out from work and all the responsibilities you have. You get home, all you want to do is sit and vegetate. And so people don't get together like they used to. They're so wore out on the weekends because they're trying to get done everything done on Saturday and Sunday that they've had to let go all week because they're working. and we are getting fragmented from each other. And I think that was one of the refreshing things. One thing about the Tea Party that when I got involved in our local Tea Party group was the people I got to meet that I would never otherwise have gotten to meet had it not been for the Tea Party. And I always said,
amen.
If nothing else good came of the Tea Party, I got to meet some great people I would not otherwise have known.
Absolutely.
And that was a privilege. I mean,
well, that's been one of the, you know, it's funny, one of the side effects, I think, unbeknownst to us, obviously, at the time, was we really erased state lines in a way that I'm not sure we've done since the beginning. When I talk to folks every day from all over the country, I don't feel like, oh my goodness, you're all the way in New York, you have no clue what's going on, or you don't know what's happening in my neck of the woods. Ironically, when something horrible is happening with the government, it affects all of us. So, you know, whether it's your local government, state government, or federal government, and it affects you in the same way. If you are a productive, giving human being, it affects you in the same way. And I now hear stories from people, because I too sat with my husband the other night having the same discussion about, wow, we don't really do anything anymore, for the same reason you stated. But,
right,
you know, I said that the interesting thing is, and this is sort of, I think, you know, to me very much like this movement, was that when we were first married and we had nothing, you know, you didn't have the money for this grand house or whatever possession. You didn't have money for anything, basically, beyond paying your bills. You found so much to do to socialize with your friends that didn't cost you money, and you enjoyed that. Those are those memories that you talk about. Oh, remember that time we went camping or whatever. And the interesting thing is, the more affluent we get, whether that's, you know, and that means something different to everybody, but the more you work, the more you build up your responsibility, you forget what that was like. And that was this foundation you built with your friends, all those relationships with your friends and your family and even your marriage. And you forget that it was about not looking to, oh, we can't afford it, or we don't have time to, whatever. It was that foundation, because that was the thing that was important. And that's what I see in this movement. We built this foundation of people reaching out to each other so that when something like this happened, it wasn't just me that's, you know, emailing and calling Alabama. There were people from all over the country doing it. You know, we're still talking to our folks in Tennessee. Are you all right? What's going on? You know, I mean, that's exactly getting back to the original purpose of everything, the simplicity of life. If you take away all this other stuff that is just noise to us, and you get back to that simplicity, and that's what will change you. My husband and I actually will do things that we call ourselves tourists for the day. So we'll go out in our own town and just act as if we've never been there before. So we love to go watch, you know, go see the Rose Garden, things that don't cost us money but give us huge enjoyment. And, you know, that's, I think we all have to get back to that. That's what I think reminds us all. That's what also makes it very clear to all of us how tyrannical the government is. Because when your life becomes simplistic and you get back to the original intent of everything, including the founding of this country, the rest of it becomes really clear.
Well, yeah, I was reminded, two things come to mind. And one thought occurred to me while we were talking, but another thing was, you know, you talked earlier about people who have lost everything, and I was reminded of a woman who had lost everything she owned in a house fire, and she said, you know, when your house catches on fire, she said there was actually a good thing that came of it. She realized what was important. Now here's your house on fire, you're about to lose everything you own. What do you save? What's important? And she said she found herself grabbing the family pictures. And when you think of that, all the stuff we have, how much of it's really important? what we consider important. And I think that something a disaster like that brings to mind, even if you're spared. About 10 years ago, we had a terrible tornado rip through our area, and it actually skipped my house. I could show you the path it took. I heard it go over our house, and it touched down about a half mile beyond our house and tore about a 10-mile swath through a neighboring town. How capricious a tornado is that even when you're spared, you know it's just the grace of God that you were spared, and it brings things closer to home. The second thing that occurs to me, the second thought I have is maybe the government's so terrified of the Tea Party because they're afraid we will realize we don't really need them. I don't know. What do you think of that?
Oh, absolutely. Hello? I mean, the whole reason they're allowed to function as it is because they spent a great deal of time and effort and money to convince everybody that this nation would be nothing without them. And we forgot in our, you know, staying busy and being productive and raising our families that, wait a minute, we weren't built by a government. We were the government.
That's
so
right.
Getting back to that reality, and I think having people read history in a way that they never did, even the way that they were taught, really reading about who the men and women were that built this country, brings that back to its very, you know, it's, we laugh about it so much now, but the seriousness is that you have a government that keeps telling you, in California, literally telling you that we know better than you how to spend this money.
Yeah.
And
oh,
if
yeah.
you are allowed to keep your money, you won't make the right decision. And so we need to do that for you. And
well, you know,
we keep forgetting that, wait a minute, you know, that wasn't the intent of you to begin with, and it was supposed to be us doing it. And from what I can tell, you haven't done a real bang-up job so far. So,
really? Well, you know, Bill Clinton actually said that. You know, after tax increase, he was in Texas, and it was getting ready for the 96 elections. And he says, yeah, some of you think I raise your taxes too much. Well, I tend to agree with you. I think we raised your tax too much too. And somebody from the crowd hollered out, well, then give it back. And he said, well, I'd like to give back to you, but there's no guarantee y'all spend it the right way. And I think,
yep.
Golly, what arrogance. You know,
we have
money.
We have a senator in my state, Steinberg, who actually said to the press last week that because we're having a big battle over the budget here and we have a governor that just wants to raise taxes, and, you know, we make literally $85 billion annually that comes into this state and still haven't figured out how to spend it correctly. And he wants to raise taxes, and they need Republicans in the Assembly and the House to pass that, and they're staying strong, which is great. And so the Democrat, Daryl Steinberg, says, well, you know, if you don't want us to raise the taxes, that means you obviously don't want these services. So what we'll do is we'll start cutting off the services to Republican districts. And I thought, you talk about audacity, that you actually said that to
really?
The news. And knew that would get out to us, and thought, you know, it just doesn't matter because that's what we're about, and these folks will keep voting us in. So, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. Here it's even worse because it's the last bastion of completely Democrat-run states in the nation. So,
right. I don't know. Yeah, I heard where Arizona is. They've got, you know, Pima County is trying to form their own state off of Arizona. And I guess it's been about 20 years ago now. I heard there was a movement for some of the conservative districts in California were trying to do the same thing. And I'm just wondering how long it's going to take for the areas of California. And to our listeners who aren't familiar, you know, most of they have this idea of California being this big bastion of liberalism, but it's not true. And, you know, talking to Don Wildman just reinforces that, folks. Not treating you like you're not here, Don, but, you know.
I totally get it.
Yeah, but the idea is, you know, having traveled extensively in California, there's only just a few very heavily populated liberal areas in California, and they're the tail that wags the dog. I mean, you've got L.A., you have San Francisco, Oakland area. These are really, you know, the Fruit Loops areas of the country, much less California. And sadly, they have a population that kind of controls the rest of the state. And I'm just saying, if Pima County gets away with it in Arizona, maybe y'all need to start a succession move in California.
Well, somebody said to me a few months ago that they finally understood what the earthquakes in California were about and what the San Andreas Fault was, that was God's perforation to separate the coastal counties from the inland. Because it's very true. The north part of the state is very conservative. The southern part here is very conservative. The inland, you know, our Central Valley where our farmers and everybody are.
That area,
Yeah, very conservative. It tends to be your Los Angeles and Santa Barbara, San Francisco area that tends to be the most liberal, which is, you know, interesting. But even that's changing, so that's a good thing.
Well, I mean, it's eventually what happens is people realize it doesn't work. Like Margaret Thatcher said, the funny thing about socialism is why it doesn't work is eventually you run out of other people's money to give away. And also when you have poor groups, they're all liberal and progressive because they're wanting to get from the rich guy. But then once they achieve something and they get education, they start owning something, they realize, hey, socialism isn't such a good idea. I want to keep what I earn.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, we always say that you never know what you're willing to fight for until you realize what you're going to lose. You know, if you have something that's worth losing, you will fight to keep it. And I was told a statistic yesterday that was just unbelievable. It was something like we were talking about the welfare recipients. California is one of the last states that has lifetime welfare rolls. And so, you know, we get people that move to the state for that reason only. So something like we have 37% of the people in the country that are on welfare reside in the state of California, and we have 12% of the population or something. And I just thought, you know, it's incredible to me that you have built a system in government, and we have allowed it to be built, where people have stopped being accountable and have stopped being realizing that the greatest liberty you have in this country is being able to decide for yourself your own destiny and act on it. And
there's a dignity to labor.
Absolutely.
And it's something I've always taught, but now that I was forced to retire, I recognize even more. It's very hard to find your sense of self-worth when you're not, quote, earning your keep. You know, being retired is, you know, I'm having to struggle every day to kind of find meaning, you know, and purpose. And, of course, I stay busy and I stay active, but I could not imagine myself being a young, healthy person sitting at home all day doing nothing. I'd go crazy, but we're seeing this because the system creates that. Because if we can make you dependent on the government, then we own you, and we own your votes.
Well, and we have to give some of this responsibility back to parents, too, because our parents have gotten to the point where they think that they have to gold star Johnny all the way through growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they go play T-ball or baseball where score isn't kept. You know, you get a star in school for your effort. There's no competition. My goodness, you are taking every motivation away from a person to succeed early on. And mother and father are backing it up. They talk about the feelings of the child, and that's great, you know. But, you know, if you don't have your children grow up with responsibility from day one, that they are responsible to God, themselves, their family, their neighbors, then they just become a problem for the rest of us. So.
Exactly right. Well, you know, like Abe Lincoln said, you show me a person who's never failed at anything, I'll show you someone who's never succeeded.
Absolutely.
Plain and simple.
Absolutely.
Well, we're running out of time here. Come to the close of the show. Dawn, would you like to close us in prayer for the week?
Absolutely.
Okay. We'll just go ahead
dear
and have
Heavenly
a word
Father.
Of prayer.
Absolutely. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for allowing us to come together again, for allowing Diana and Pastor Mary to come and share with us the update so that we could be reminded once again that our work is not done here. Thank you for keeping more people safe than were harmed. Thank you for this nation and those that built it. Thank you for the tea parties and the people that keep struggling to bring us back to our roots. Thank you for all the wisdom we're gaining in walking this path. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks, Dawn. It's always a pleasure talking at you. And
you too, Mr. Wayne. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
You sure will. And you take care. And for all you folks, thanks for tuning in. And we'll be here Monday, same time, same place. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless.